sports meets life with an unbiased perspective. This is your wake-up call with Dan Tortora.
Very happy Thanksgiving holiday to each and every one of you. Hope you're having it with your family, with your friends, with all of your loved ones, maybe some strangers. Maybe you invited somebody off the street. Maybe you're a kind-hearted person like that, or you're helping out at a soup kitchen or whatever you may be doing. Happy Thanksgiving. Truly, spend this day being thankful for everything. And then when you wake up tomorrow after Thanksgiving, spend that time being thankful, just as thankful if you were, if not more thankful, that you woke up that day. So happy Thanksgiving, happy Turkey Day, and it's time to get into it. Have some of you calling to talk about Syracuse's win, and we'll get to your calls in just a moment here on the fan line, 315-5031-FAN. That's 315-503-1326. Write that number down and call next time. Syracuse wins over Princeton on the eve of Thanksgiving, 73-53. So we have a few callers, callers that you know, Brian from Syracuse, Jason from Maryland, getting back on the line again. And folks, you can call that line at 315-5031-FAN. So we'll talk to them in just a moment, get to see what they're thankful for. So we'll hear that coming up very soon. And then we'll get into who a special person connected to the show is thankful for, someone that you're used to hearing on the fan line. You'll hear what she has to say coming up very, very soon. And Rob Drummond, who joins me every single week for Back on the Field, he will join me to give his picks for the NFL. I'll also give mine, and he'll tell you what he's thankful for. But before that, the art of leadership with a very special return of a guest who's doing so many good things in the Central New York community that could be seen all across this great nation, and that is Ian McIntyre, the Syracuse men's soccer coach, who's led the team not only to their first NCAA tournament, but into the Sweet 16 as they prepare to face Georgetown coming up very soon in that Sweet 16 round. We'll hear from him first before we hear from all of you and what you're thankful for. So get yourself involved and also go on Facebook and Twitter, Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora's Facebook page, and on Twitter at CallDT. So we'll get to those calls in just a few moments, so hold on there for me, and we'll hear from Coach McIntyre
coming up after the break
on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com.
Now that the weather has turned chilly, why not be a hero to your family and friends and treat them to some fresh, handmade ice cream from Carvel DeWitt? Whether it's our ice cream, novelties, or world-famous cakes, we make everything fresh by hand daily. Don't be fooled by the ice cream that you see in the grocery store that could be weeks or months old. Carvel DeWitt is the oldest Carvel in the country and prides itself on making the best, freshest ice cream every single day. Come on in and taste the fresh difference and be a hero to your family and friends. Carvel DeWitt, it's what happy tastes like.
Sometimes we can't help how we get injured, but we can help ourselves and how we get better. Hi, I'm Paula Carey from Carey and Daly Physical Therapy. I'm here on Wake Up Call to tell you that currently in New York State, you can be evaluated by a physical therapist without seeing your physician. Some insurance companies will allow up to 9 visits before a prescription is needed. At Carey and Daly Physical Therapy, our experienced staff will evaluate you and start you on a program appropriate for your injury. We know how important feeling good is to you. Let us help you improve your well-being by coming to see us at one of our 5 locations in upstate New York. Carey and Daly Physical Therapy, where we care about your body and are dedicated to helping you get well.
Find the location nearest you at CareyandDalyPT.com. That's C-A-R-E-Y and D-A-L-E-Y-P-T.com.
Back here on The Art of Leadership on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com. On the show just a week or so ago, head coach of Syracuse University men's soccer program, and that is Coach Ian McIntyre. Coach, how you doing?
Doing great, Dan. Thanks for having me on.
I'm happy to have you on, and happy to hear that the last time that we talked, it was maybe we get in, maybe we don't when it comes to the NCAA tournament when you didn't win the Big East tournament. Let's start there. When you got that nod that you were going into the NCAA tournament for Syracuse, what did it mean to you?
Yeah, certainly a lot's happened in a week. For me personally, it's really very proud of and excited for the kids. They've worked tremendously hard this year, and You know, you sit in that room, and I've experienced both sides of it. You see your name up, and there's jubilation, and it's one of those memories that you keep with you for your entire adult life. You don't see your name, and you can hear a pin drop. So thankfully, it went our way, and that energy, and the room erupted, and I was very happy for the guys that they had an opportunity to experience that.
And in your time here, the team has really had no opportunity of getting to the NCAA tournament based on record. So this was the first year where you really had that opportunity where you could move forward. If no tournament had happened, would you still be proud with the turnaround the team's made?
Oh, absolutely. We spoke as a group about an invitation to the national tournament. Wasn't we didn't require that to validate an awesome season. To have that invitation was just taking it another step forward, probably writing another line to the season summary, and thankfully we've added a couple more lines since, and then perhaps from the flip side to validate the NCAA selecting us to have to move on through that Cornell game and then the VCU. I think that has certainly shown that the decision was the correct one to invite us into the tournament.
Let's talk about that first round against Cornell. You're not playing too far away from home, about 45 minutes or so in Ithaca, New York. Was it better for you knowing that with this being your first time with Syracuse into the NCAA tournament that you were able to start closer to home?
Yes and no. You worry as a coach that sometimes it is good to get away if you're not going to play at home. The other side of that, to go away and have the opportunity. We took a lot of support and some vocal support with us. It was a real special night. We were quite familiar and have been with Cornell, as I'm sure Cornell were familiar with us here at Syracuse. Yeah. Had the chance to see him play during the season, and we did feel that this could be a geographically a good matchup in the first round. So, but we also knew that Cornell are coming off a remarkable season, and they're one of the one of the real stories of college soccer this year with a 15-1 record. So we realized that it would be a tremendous test for our squad.
What does that win do for you when you moved on to VCU? Because a tougher game, went to double overtime. When you beat a team like Cornell, what did it do for the team? Did it help uplift the team to be able to move on and have, face the adversity that you did against VCU and come out on top?
Two different teams, but both required the guys to show a lot of character and courage. Cornell were very effective in the particular style they play, put you under a lot of pressure, a lot of balls in the box, a lot of restarts and throws that really challenge you physically as well as mentally during the entire game. And with some quality players, and obviously the boy Habers, had a great year scoring goals. So we knew we'd be tested, and thankfully found a way to score an early goal. And then I thought we played well. And then towards the end of the game, when they really pushed numbers forward and tested us, to stand up to that test we've done a good job of having a number of shutouts, and it was a real good one to go and accomplish that at Cornell.
VCU playing in their neck of the woods, you're in Richmond, Virginia, and you're going up against a team that you haven't seen obviously this season. That game going into double overtime, just talk about what it was like being on the sidelines for that with you as a coach, to know that you have this team, you're going into the first overtime, then you go into the second, and to just go back and forth with VCU and end up coming out on top. What was it like on the sideline? What were you saying to the guys to keep them moving forward?
It was a great soccer match. It was two good teams. really kind of going after each other. But I was, it was one of those games that we went behind by two early in the game, and I think we had every opportunity for our guys to kind of lie down. You've had a great season, you've made the tournament, you've won a game in, it would be, you know, the easiest thing for the guys at that time, I think, would have been to kind of say, all right, we've had a terrific season, and here it is. But they didn't. They showed that resolve, and we talked about that toughness to kind of drag ourselves back in the game, and with a couple of quality goals before half time. And same thing. It was heading towards penalty kicks, and it would have been I guess the easiest thing to kind of accept that. And kind of rolled the dice in a penalty shootout, but found a way right at the end to score that all-important goal to push us forward into the Sweet 16. So I'm very proud of the guys. I talk to the guys all the time about these sayings about sport and athletics building character. I would argue it rather it reveals character, and this season certainly, and over the last week even more than ever, that guys have demonstrated that they have tremendous character and toughness.
Looking at character and toughness, going to your goalkeeper, obviously in that first game you score and you keep Cornell from getting on the board, and then in your case of the next game against VCU when you go down 2-0 and then you finally get that goal and you prevent anything from happening within that period to get your offense to the point where they can score that third goal. How vital has the goalkeeper been, and where is his character as well as the integrity that he's had for you?
Alex has been awesome this year for such a young guy to come in. He has a good presence. He very rarely gets flustered. He's had some good support ahead of him, and some good protection. But when called upon, he's really stepped up, and we see that day in day out in training. Not just him, but Coughlin, and before his injury, Stiff. We've got a very good goalkeeping group here, and I think that's allowed Alex to continue to develop his game, and he's been terrific. When called upon against VCU, he was outstanding. And then, as we said before, a slightly different game with more aerial balls going into the box against Cornell. His size and his presence really helped us, and also calmed us down to alleviate some of those problems. A lot of young goalkeepers may have. Had more difficulty in these two tournament games, but he shone through both of them.
Does it worry or concern you at all the fact that the team had to go through not only the full game and obviously the toll that soccer can take on your body, running back and forth for that entire game, and obviously respecting soccer players, at least I do when it comes to endurance. When you play that whole game, then you're playing two overtimes, and now you have to go to your Sweet 16 game. You have some time in between, but did you worry about fatigue at all within that game of being able to come through with a win, knowing that the players had played so long?
We had some tired legs against VCU going, halfway through the second half and going into overtime. I think that provides even more appreciation of the guys. They put everything out there. We've talked all along, this is a very honest group that leaves it all out there, and they did that again, and we had some real tired bodies certainly after the game, but the adrenaline was certainly pumping. Mm-hmm. And your body normally doesn't feel quite as tired when after you've won a game, but it is nice that now we have a little bit more time. It's awesome to be training and practicing and playing during Thanksgiving break. That's when you've had a good season. If at this time of year you're spending time with your team, and so we're looking forward to this week. We're going to enjoy it. We're going to enjoy each other's company. I'm going to have a full house on Thanksgiving, feed a lot of hungry mouths, and then we'll head down to D.C.
Is the whole team coming to spend it with your family?
Yes, no, they're, I think four turkeys have already been purchased, and I'm staying out my wife's way, and it'll be great. These are the memories that you take forward. As a player, I can remember having Thanksgiving dinner with my teammates and coach, and you know that that means you're part of something special in a good team. And it's something we've talked about this last couple of weeks. In fact, we were when asked. In all honesty, when asked what was I telling the guys during breaks in overtime, I was asking them what kind of sides they wanted for Thanksgiving dinner, because there wasn't too much to be said at that time. It was kind of, come on, let's win this game, let's be together, let's we don't want this to end, so we want to keep going as long as possible. And we're excited to be practicing and playing.
What are you most thankful for this season with Thanksgiving coming around? Is it where you stand right now with this team?
Yeah, well, I'm thankful for the buying, I guess, and the commitment of the guys. We've got a fun group. It's a wacky group. It's a weird group, but it's it's an outstanding group of young men. And I'm thankful to have an opportunity here at Syracuse University to come to work every day, do something I love, and be with. With my extended family, which is our team, and so when we're together on Thursday, I will make sure that I say thanks to this group, because as all along we get evaluated based on wins and losses, but I see this group day in, day out, and be you a starter, a goal scorer, a 90-minute player, a reserve, or guys that are that been in practice. This is a good group, and I'm very appreciative of what the sacrifices they've made and the commitments they've made to allow us to move forward.
How will this big household watch the American football at all? If you look at that side.
Well, the house may be not that big, but it will be quite tight. But there will be my wife's a big football fan, and so. The football will be on. I'm no doubt we'll have some real football as well taped to be watched. So it'll be a good we've got some international guys who have no idea what's going on when it comes to gridiron. We've got some passionate NFL supporters as well. So I'm sure we'll have different TVs in different rooms watching, my guys, no doubt, will ensure. One thing my guys do a lot of is they like to eat, so it should be a fun afternoon.
I would love to hear the conversation at some point with your players of why football, which is played in America, for the sport that is here being called football, how it's not played with your foot. I would love that. Maybe that's a conversation that you guys will have.
That's some of the guys question the toughness of football players because of the pads and the helmets until they actually see how big the guys are. And then the guys have been pretty quiet, and they haven't reflected upon that again. So, we were all watching the game on Saturday night, and were as excited, for our guys winning on Saturday night, and the same thing, we'll be all out there to watch our basketball team on Wednesday. It's exciting to see our SU athletics teams have success, and we all take tremendous pride in representing Syracuse University.
Before I let you go, looking at this game that's coming up in the Sweet 16, you're playing Georgetown, team that you know, team from conference. You're playing them in their neck of the woods, obviously, in Washington, D.C. What does Georgetown do well that you're preparing for right now? What is it about Georgetown, if I asked you to make a mission statement for them and their style of play?
Well, they're a quality team. They've been, they're one of the top four seeds. They're the third-ranked team in the tournament. made it all the way to the Big East final. They've got players who can hurt you. They've got experience, and technically, very good team and a very well coached. So there are parts of their team that we realise that, you know, there aren't any easy teams. You look at the 16 teams left, and it's a who's who of college soccer. And Georgetown have deservedly made their way up to one of the elite teams in the country. So we realise that we need to be at our very best. But it's what a fantastic opportunity we have on Sunday to compete in the Sweet 16, and we're very excited to embrace the challenge of such a game. And we've played good teams this year. We've played good teams on the road, and so we're certainly going there. We'll understand and respect the qualities of Georgetown, but we'll be concerned about ensuring that we play our best game, and then play Syracuse soccer, and then I think good things can happen.
How much faith do you have in this unit moving forward, knowing that there's no easy road to get to the final?
Yeah, as a group, we don't really talk about the Final Four and the final game. You know, we didn't talk about VCU when we played Cornell, and we didn't talk about Georgetown when we played VCU, even though we knew that Georgetown had won their game against Charlotte. So the same thing. We'll just be fully focused, and we'll respect the game, and just worry, you know, control what we can control, and that's our performance on Sunday.
And how proud are you of this team, no matter what happens, where you stand right now, knowing that you've made strides for Syracuse soccer as you move forward into the ACC? How proud are you of your unit?
Oh, that's, I think I'm on record saying it probably too many times, but no, let me rephrase it. You can never say you're too proud of a group. It's a special group. It's a group that has demonstrated on a daily basis, and then certainly in games, the pride that they take to represent our institution and wear our Syracuse jersey. And win, lose or draw, that's what I ask for from our student athletes, is that they leave everything out on the field, and we've certainly done that this year.
Appreciate it as always, Coach.
Thank you very much, Dan.
Now that the weather has turned chilly, why not be a hero to your family and friends and treat them to some fresh, handmade ice cream from Carvel DeWitt? Whether it's our ice cream, novelties, or world-famous cakes, we make everything fresh by hand daily. Don't be fooled by the ice cream that you see in the grocery store that could be weeks or months old. Carvel DeWitt is the oldest Carvel in the country and prides itself on making the best, freshest ice cream every single day. Come on in and taste the fresh difference and be a hero to your family and friends. Carvel DeWitt, it's what happy tastes like.
Sometimes we can't help how we get injured, but we can help ourselves and how we get better. Hi, I'm Paula Carey from Carey and Daly Physical Therapy. I'm here on Wake Up Call to tell you that currently in New York State, you can be evaluated by a physical therapist without seeing your physician. Some insurance companies will allow up to 9 visits before a prescription is needed. At Carey and Daly Physical Therapy, our experienced staff will evaluate you and start you on a program appropriate for your injury. We know how important feeling good is to you. Let us help you improve your well-being by coming to see us at one of our 5 locations in upstate New York. Carey and Daly Physical Therapy, where we care about your body and are dedicated to helping you get well.
Find the location nearest you at careyanddalypt.com. That's Carey and Daleypt.com.
Welcome back here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. Special Thanksgiving season edition. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there. Tried to get you a turkey sound, but the turkey kept moving. I don't know what to tell you about it, folks. Just make sure if you get a turkey and you actually put it on the table that it's cooked, that it's not alive. Maybe take the feathers off. I don't know. It's, you know what? It's my first time hosting, and I'm learning the ropes. I'm figuring out how to do it, but
All jokes aside, I made the sweet potatoes and I made the antipasto. So there you go. I got a little bit of Italian and sweet potatoes. I don't know where they came from. Maybe you can call me up and tell me on the fan line, 315-5031-FAN. But in all honesty, wherever sweet potatoes came from, they were amazing. And I'm going to say that they came from my grandmother on my mom's side, because she made them all throughout my life, and that's the true test. When you put the sweet potatoes on the table and somebody tells you that they're good, yeah, it feels nice. But when grandma, the genius of sweet potato, when she tells you that it's good, she gives you the thumbs up, well, then you know that it's your day. So spend some time with your grandparents, parents, friends, family, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, kids, whoever. Have a great time. Spend it with the dog. I'm spending it with my dog, Shady. You've seen her before. She wears the hats on wakeupcalldt.com. We'll put a nice hat on her, try and get her to wear something nice this holiday season. But Thanksgiving starts off my favorite time of the year, because it's Thanksgiving, then it's Christmas, then it's New Year's. So I love this time. I love going out and get the tree. And you know what, folks? I love snow. I don't like driving in it, but I like playing in the snow. I like seeing the snow, and it's one of the purest things that you'll find on Earth. And from one of the purest things that you'll find on Earth to some of the purest fans that you'll find on Earth, and we'll get them on the line right now. We'll go with Brian first from Syracuse here on the fan line, talking about Syracuse's victory against Princeton on the eve of Thanksgiving. Brian calling in here at 315-5031-FAN. Brian, what do you have to say about the game?
Oh, I was just going to say, big thing tonight, right off the top, is I think James Sutherland definitely has what it takes to be the best player on the team.
You making that statement, Brian, about James Sutherland coming off the bench, having 11 points in the first half to lead everyone, including all of the starters, and having 22 overall. James Sutherland really stepping up.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And the thing is that if he just learns to play better defense, it'll be no question he'll be the best player on the team.
Oh, yeah, definitely. There was a play where James Sutherland was able to get his shot on the one end, on the offensive end, and then came down and failed to get to the corner to prevent a three opportunity that ended up dropping for Princeton. So it's definitely something that he has to work on. You know, Baikita has stepped up in the absence of Fab Mello, and so has Rakeem Christmas, also with Chris Joseph not being there. So Sutherland does need to kind of follow suit here on defense and get an all-around game going strong for himself, and more importantly, for the team.
Yeah, in his defense, though, he's never really played on the court long enough to really have to worry about playing solid defense, you know, at any particular given point in time in his career so far. You know, I think it'll come to him here pretty soon. He just needs somebody to give him a hand. One of the guards or either one of the guards or bike hitters needs to help him out and let him know where he's at on the floor, because he loses his defender on the wing sometimes. He gets caught cheating up too far like a guard instead of playing back like a forward.
I think that you make a good point there, Brian. James Sutherland being asked throughout his career up until now to come in, play a few minutes, take a few shots, and now he's in a position where he's going to have to, like I said before, make up for some of those rebounds that Chris Joseph was getting, that Fab Mello was getting, that he wasn't asked to do prior to this season.
Right.
Besides James Sutherland, what were your overall thoughts on the game, Brian from Syracuse calling into the fan line?
Well, you know, I think it was all right. Now, Trish is going to be an interesting project this year, and I like what Jim Boeheim did with him today. He left him out on the court almost the entire game. He made him stay out there. He didn't let him just disappear and hit the bench. He made Trish be, you know, accountable for almost the entire game. I mean, I think he came out for a little bit when Boeheim was just trying to give adjustments. But for the most part, Trish was out there the whole game. He was playing awful, but you know, the thing is that this is Trish's, you know, this is how he operates. You know, he has a great game, then he has a so-so game, and he'll have a bad game, then he'll have a great game. Well, we can't have Trish disappearing this year. He needs to be out there. He needs to be a leader. And I like the fact that Jim Boeheim made him stay out there the entire game so that he couldn't just disappear on the bench.
Like you said, Trish not having the best game out there, shot really not coming off for him, turnover-wise, 5 turnovers in the game, but surprisingly, Jim Boeheim keeps him in the game, and this is something that, you know, if it was a Deion Waiters in the past, he would come right out making one or two mistakes, but Brandon Trish able to stay in the game because Jim Boeheim decided that was the best thing to do.
Yeah, he having kind of a miserable night shooting tonight, wasn't he?
Yeah, Trish only shooting 3 of 11, missing every attempt he took from long range, 0-for-3 from distance. And, you know, at the free throw line, he was 4-of-4. But Trevor Cooney struggled, too, for the backcourt. Couldn't really get anything going. He was 0-for-4. And he also missed 3 attempts from beyond the arc. So, really, Michael Carter-Williams was the guy that stepped up. And not just points-wise, but 9 assists. So, now he has 20 in the last 2 games.
Oh, yeah. He was a great ball distributor today. It was really nice to see. You know, he got into the lane a couple of times and expanded the lead a little bit. So, I mean, those things were great to see out of Michael Carter-Williams. You know, but as far as Trevor Cooney goes, I mean, this is his 3rd college game. So, I mean, what do you really expect out of the kid, you know?
For all intents and purposes, Trevor Cooney being a freshman this season, as far as playing time and being out there because he had the redshirt year, his actual freshman year. So, registered as a sophomore, but didn't play, so has 4 years of eligibility. And, you know, really off the bench, though, besides James Sutherland, there wasn't a lot of guys coming out, you know, as Boeheim minimized the time for the 4 players.
Yeah, I kind of expected that, too. I mean, Jeremy Grant is, you know, work in progress, and DeJuan Coleman's not going to see significant minutes until his, until he gets a little better at keeping the ball up off the court. I mean, as soon as I kept screaming at the TV, you know, get that ball to your chest. You know, because that's his big thing, is he doesn't put the ball at his chest level. He swings it around at his feet, and it makes it really easy for people to come pick him off.
Brian, before I let you go, did you have a play of the game with Syracuse up against Princeton?
Oh, play of the game was James Sutherland's and one there in the second half. He went up to the rack strong, got fouled, made the free throw. That was the dagger in the game.
All right, Brian, well, I appreciate that. And before I let you go here with the Thanksgiving season, what are you thankful for?
Oh, geez, I'm thankful that my family's all healthy and that for now we're all still working. So that's the important part. We're all healthy and we're all working.
Well, I appreciate that, and I'm sure your loved ones do too. And I can honestly say, Brian, that I'm thankful for your support and that you've always stuck by me and stuck with the show.
Hey, of course. I'm very thankful to have your program around. It always makes my weekends much more interesting. So, Sunday, Woody's Jerkwater.
Woody's Jerkwater Pub and Grub, the only sports bar name that you need to know in Mattydale across from Northern Lights. We go out there for the Fantasy Football Challenge and so much more. Any sporting event, go out there and enjoy it. And, Brian, have a phenomenal Thanksgiving.
All right, take it easy.
From Brian to that state that just had a team decide the ACC isn't what they want to be anymore. Going to the Big Ten, Maryland making that jump, the Terrapins moving from the ACC to the Big Ten before they could face Syracuse and go back to their storied history together. We have Jason on the line right now that wants to talk about that Syracuse game, hailing from Maryland. Jason, how you doing?
I'm great, Dan. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. Happy to have you back here on the show. And what do you have to say about the game, Jason?
Yeah, it was actually a good test for the team, I thought. They did not play as crisp offensively as I'm sure Coach Boeheim would have liked. A little stagnant in the play. Princeton did a nice job of not letting us get out on fast, you know, get a lot of fast break opportunities. But I thought the guys played good defense, and, you know, I thought they played much better in the second half. I think that James Sutherland obviously was the big star of the game, hit some big shots, really the only guy that got anything from the three point line. So that's got to improve. But overall, I think it was a good test. I think Princeton is obviously not athletically as talented as Syracuse, clearly, but I think they'll be somebody that's in contention to be in the tournament. I thought Michael Carter-Williams was good. A little disappointed in Brandon Trish's performance. He's continued to turn the ball over. But, you know, overall, you know, it's a good win. I think these early games, you know, sometimes you're not going to get an even performance, and some of that credit has to go to the other team, and I thought Princeton did a nice job, you know, forcing Syracuse to do some different things. So I think that'll help us out in the long run. It was definitely an uneven game and probably the least complete performance so far.
Yeah, you know, you look at Syracuse, and when they were playing outside in the game on the Battle of the Midway, you know, it's a different type of experience. You're playing in a different element, so you can't really call that, You can't really compare that to the other games that they played, but, you know, you brought up the point that James Sutherland being able to hit from three, he made 4 of 6. The only other person to hit a three was Michael Carter-Williams, who made 1 of 4, and then bringing up the fact that Brandon Trish had 5 turnovers in the game. So, you know, I think, you know, ultimately with Brandon Trish, you know, it's just it's a struggling time for him, but the man also played 34 minutes in the game, played the second most amount of time, so despite the mistakes that he was making, Boeheim wasn't taking him out of the game.
Yeah, I mean, he's a senior, and, you know, I've kind of, you're going to get, you know, pretty much the same performance out of Brandon. He's a very consistent player. I think he's had a little problem with turnovers in the beginning of this year, because I feel like he might be trying a little too hard to maybe be the leader or instigate the offense more. I honestly really feel like, and this is obviously based on 3 games, including the exhibition, but I honestly feel like this team's going to go wherever Michael Carter-Williams takes it. And I didn't think I would say that, considering Brandon Trish is a senior. But the energy that Michael Carter-Williams brings to this team and the extra dimension of vision that he has as a point guard, he's a pass-first point guard, I think that, you know, and I honestly think even as a sophomore, he's one of the leaders on this team. I think Brandon's going to give you what Brandon's going to give you. He's going to give you 15 points, you know, six rebounds or 5 rebounds and 5 assists. It's going to be consistent, but I think the guy that's going to lead us where we need to go is probably going to be Michael Carter-Williams, because he's got star written all over him, and I think he's only going to get better as the season goes on, with more playing time and obviously getting that experience that he hasn't had really since he didn't play much last year. But, you know, I'm not knocking Brandon. I definitely think he's one of the better guards in the Big East, and I think he'll be key in the success that this team has, for sure.
Yeah, you know, Brandon, as far as leadership goes, I mean, this is a guy who's very critical of himself. He could be 19 of 20 and talk about the shot that he missed. So I think this is a guy that understands, you know, he has 12 turnovers in the first 3 games of the season, and I think that's something that's definitely going to linger on his mind and stay with him. But knowing being around Brandon, and from the time that I've spent around him, I don't think that he's someone that would I don't think he was someone that would just look past this in the sense of not caring. I think he's somebody who's definitely going to put it upon himself to be a better leader moving forward.
Oh, absolutely. I feel like, I agree with you completely, Dan. I mean, I feel like one of Brandon's issues actually has been that he's been way too hard on himself in certain situations, and I think that's gotten him into trouble, in the sense that he makes mistakes, and he, instead of, you know, looking forward and letting that go, he focuses on the mistakes that he makes, and sometimes I think that affects his play. And I think once he learns that, hey, the play's over, let's move on or whatever, which he seems to be doing, because he had a decent first 2 games, and he was okay tonight. I think, you know, it's a work in progress with him. He's just so hard. You're right. He's so hard on himself. You know, I've heard Boeheim mention it a few times that, you know, he gets so down on himself, and then he doesn't want to shoot, and, you know, and it's like, you know, he's so talented that, you know, you just got to tell him to keep going, man. Don't worry about it. Just keep your head up and keep playing. And I really believe that, you know, he and the guards on this team are going to take it where it needs to go, in my opinion. I mean, Brandon and Michael Carter-Williams are definitely, in my opinion, the best backcourt in the Big East. And you know, I think Brandon, over time, he'll get back into his groove, and he'll be a huge part and a big component of the success this team has. He's the winningest player all time in Syracuse history in his career, he will end up as that after this year. So there's something to be said. He's a winner. I mean, the guy just knows how to win and plays the game the right way. So definitely not down on Brandon, just thought he had a rough night tonight for sure.
I think that's, you know, a very interesting take that you have, that, you know, Brandon has been on teams with a lot of talent around him and has made
has made it a point to put himself out there when need be. You know, not every win is because of him, but he has contributed a lot in bringing up the case that he could very well be one of the winningest player to be in Syracuse history. Is crazy to think of something like that happening in the here and now, but the possibility of that because of what teams with Brandon Trish on it have been able to do as of late for Syracuse.
Yeah, I mean, I think the one thing Brandon's done a great job of, and that's ever since he came in, is really find his role on the team and play that role. When he was a freshman, his role was, you know, distribute the ball, get it to the guys like, Wes and Andy and those guys and kind of learn from them. His sophomore year, he was more aggressive and started to score more. And then last year, I think he really started to take on more of a upperclassman role, leadership, maybe not verbally, but the way he plays the game. He plays extremely hard. He works extremely hard. Sets a good example for the young players. I thought he had a good year last year. And I just think he's gotten it. The key to good players for me is you want to see progression every year. You don't want to see any regression. And Brandon's probably one of the hardest workers on the team. So you know that he's worked his rear end off for this senior year. And I'm positive that he's going to have his best year yet. So definitely think that the best games of Brandon Trish's career are still in front of him for Syracuse.
Well, it's big words for Brandon Trish coming here from Jason from Maryland as the team continues on 3-0 right now. Who's your player of the game for this game? I know before we talked about the top play, but if you had to pick your player of the game for this game before I let you go, who would that be?
I would have to. It would be a toss up between Michael Carter Williams and James. But if I had to pick one, I would pick James Sutherland. He hit threes. I thought he played great defense in the first half. Really, James, if he comes off the bench and plays like this, the Syracuse is going to be a very difficult team to beat. He's unbelievably quick hands. He had a couple dunks where I didn't think he'd even get the ball up there, and he's such a quick leaper that he had some nice dunks. And also, he was banging threes from the outside. When he's on like that, you got to just get him the ball and. And he's our sixth man. It's like Deion last year and Scoop and Chris in 2010. I mean, the team just keeps rolling with talent, and I think tonight he did what the team needed him to do to win. He comes off, he's like the microwave Vinnie Johnson back in the 80s with the Pistons. He just comes off the bench and gives you instant offense, and actually he's really improved his defense as well. And rebounding, and I've noticed his handles a lot better. So James Sutherland's also a major key to this team. He was definitely big tonight and a major reason why they won this game.
Well, Jason, as always, I appreciate you calling in. And before I let you go here, with the Thanksgiving holiday right here with us, what are you thankful for?
Well, I'm thankful for your show first, Dan. But seriously, I'm thankful for my family, my friends, my health. Happy to have so much support in my life and so many good people. And it's a good time to pause and reflect and think about how blessed we all are to have our lives and to have our health and just be thankful for the things that we have and for the people that we have around us. So I'm definitely have a lot of things to be thankful for.
Well, it's great to hear that, and I can second that too with what I had to be thankful for, including people like you that have always been constant supporters of the show. So have yourself a phenomenal holiday with the loved ones, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, brother. You too. Take care.
I'll take a quick step aside here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on wakeupcalldt.com. When I come back, you'll hear from Rob Drummond as we pick the games of Thanksgiving, Turkey Day games. We're telling you who we think is going to come out with a victory. And, of course, you'll hear what Rob Drummond is thankful for, the Syracuse NFL and CFL alum. And then I'll thank each and every one of you in a very special way, all coming up here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com.
Now that the weather has turned chilly, why not be a hero to your family and friends and treat them to some fresh, handmade ice cream from Carvel DeWitt? Whether it's our ice cream, novelties, or world-famous cakes, we make everything fresh by hand daily. Don't be fooled by the ice cream that you see in the grocery store that could be weeks or months old. Carvel DeWitt is the oldest Carvel in the country and prides itself on making the best, freshest ice cream every single day. Come on in and taste the fresh difference and be a hero to your family and friends. Carvel DeWitt, it's what happy tastes like.
Sometimes we can't help how we get injured, but we can help ourselves and how we get better. Hi, I'm Paula Carey from Carey and Daly Physical Therapy. I'm here on Wake Up Call to tell you that currently in New York State, you can be evaluated by a physical therapist without seeing your physician. Some insurance companies will allow up to 9 visits before a prescription is needed. At Carey and Daly Physical Therapy, our experienced staff will evaluate you and start you on a program appropriate for your injury. We know how important feeling good is to you. Let us help you improve your well-being by coming to see us at one of our 5 locations in upstate New York. Carey and Daly Physical Therapy, where we care about your body and are dedicated to helping you get well.
Find the location nearest you at CareyandDalyPT.com. That's C-A-R-E-Y and D-A-L-E-Y-P-T.com.
Back here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, special holiday edition for Thanksgiving on Wake Up Call DT.com. Have Rob Drummond right here to give you the picks. Going through them quickly, Rob Drummond, on that first game, who do you have between the Detroit Lions, who play every Thanksgiving, and the Houston Texans?
I'd say Houston, for the simple fact that I think Houston's a little bit more athletic. Detroit's kind of a little beat up right now, but that front seven of Detroit hasn't been playing this year like I thought they were capable of playing, you know. And with Houston playing the way they're playing, I think Houston's just too much for the Detroit Lions right now.
You look at a guy like Andre Johnson, yeah, who's a wide receiver that gets paid and still plays the game.
Oh, I had a monster game this past weekend. I mean, Andre Johnson is one of our prototypical top 3 players right now in the NFL. And then, but I think by the time it's all said and done, he'll be one of the top 3 players possibly to ever play in the position of wide receiver in the NFL. He's a specimen. He truly is.
The next game, Dallas Cowboys, Detroit Lions and the Dallas Cowboys in the history of Thanksgiving, having that opportunity every single year. You look at the Dallas Cowboys going up against the Washington Redskins. Who do you have?
I mean, you look at the Dallas Cowboys, and they're an anomaly to me. They're a Jekyll and Hyde. When they show up, they're a very good team. When they don't show up, they're a very, very bad team. You know, but I could also say the same thing about the Washington Redskins, you know. But the X factor in this game right now is just playing well, coming up the week he had against my Eagles, you know. No, RG3 is just playing at another level for quarterbacks right now, especially for a rookie, and he just seems to keep that team going. And Dallas has as I said before, with the Lions, a great push with their front seven. That defense is a very good defense, but with a running quarterback, a mobile quarterback, a quarterback who understands the game right now like RG3, I just think the Redskins will win, and I think about 3 or 4 points.
And then you look at the final game, which people will actually get to see this season, a game that we don't – pardon me. This is very loud. And then you look at a game that we finally get to see this season on NFL Network. Not everybody got it. This is the first year that people will be able to watch this late game, the game that allows other teams besides the Cowboys and the Lions to get involved. And this is an AFC East matchup with the Jets and the New England Patriots. The Jets coming off a victory. The Patriots coming off of a smackdown where they got close to 60 points in their game. Who wins this one?
I mean, the Patriots are just the America's team. I mean, they just do everything correct. You know, it's a system set up for them, you know, to succeed. And you never really can bet against Tom Brady because that guy is just – he's a machine out there. I'm not a big Tom Brady fan, but, you know, he wins. He understands the game. He plays at a higher level. And they really rally around him. And the Jets are just in turmoil right now. They got lucky. I mean, I won't say got lucky last week because it was the Rams, but Jets are not a good team. You know, and last week was just like a Band-Aid over a mortal wound. It's just a matter of time for them. And Tom Brady's just going to be too much for them.
And, Rob, before I let you go here, what are you thankful for this holiday season and always?
I'm thankful for, you know, everyone just being happy, having a good holiday, you know, just going out there and spending with family. You know, people, a lot of people take the time out, you know, stress about work, you know, stress about the economy, stress about everything that's going around them. You know, this is a time for us to give thanks for just having another day to live and just be happy that we have family around us and friends around us and just be thankful.
Running through my picks here for Thanksgiving, Detroit and Houston. I'm going with Houston. This team is a team that's fighting for a Super Bowl opportunity. The Indianapolis Colts are upstart and doing a lot better than people might have thought, so Houston has to stay strong. And the Detroit Lions, like I've talked with Rob Drummond about, and you've heard it on Back on the Field, and if you haven't, make sure you go listen to the episodes on the exclusive interviews page of this website, wakeupcalldt.com. But Calvin Johnson isn't what he used to be. He got that big contract, and Megatron's really not fighting that hard. So with a team that has so many offensive weapons and defensively is strong, led by J.J. Watt, I think Houston's going to be too much. In the Dallas Cowboys game against the Washington Redskins, I think Dallas is going to fall too, with both of these teams falling who play every Thanksgiving. Washington's got RG3. They have too much. There's a lot of energy on that team. And the Dallas Cowboys really don't know which end is up. And Jerry Jones, he said he would never fire himself, but he's going to have to restrict himself a little bit in order for this team to move on. There's loving something that you hug it so tight, but sometimes when you hug it tight, you start to choke it. And that's what Jerry Jones is doing with the Cowboys. And the final game, that game that changes every year, the New England Patriots and the New York Jets. Jets aren't coming out of here alive with this win. I mean, they'll make it out literally, but figuratively, the New York Jets are completely outmatched by the majority of the NFL, definitely by the New England Patriots. Look for this to be a win that the Patriots have pretty handily in this game. And those are my picks for what's going on this Thanksgiving. And now I wanted to thank everyone that's in the Wake Up Call Challenges, everyone that's come out to the event at Carvel DeWitt for the Wake Up Call Sunday, everyone who's gotten a Sunday, won a prize, come out to a Syracuse Silver Knights game, went out to Woody's Jerkwater Pub and Grub, has gone out and bought fan hands at fanhands.com for their fan experience, who has gone to Metro Collision. Everything that you've been involved in, livesportsvideo.com, I want to thank everyone who's ever helped out the show, starting with East Coast Specialties and Skyline Golf Course, the Ronald McDonald House. Also want to thank livesportsvideo.com, Metro Collision, Carvel DeWitt, Carry and Daily Physical Therapy, Dreisig Apparel, fanhands.com, the Syracuse Silver Knights, Woody's Jerkwater Pub and Grub, Quaker Steak and Lube, Hooters. I want to thank all of you for being a part of the family at Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora and for Dan Tatora Broadcast Media, LLC. I cannot thank you enough. And I also want to thank each and every one of you listening, the fans, those of you on Facebook, on Twitter, that have gotten involved through YouTube, that come on this website, that listen to the show, that call into the show. Because of you and your support, I get to do what I love every single day because I'm talking to somebody. And so whether it be Jason from Maryland, Brian from Syracuse, Mark from Texas, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, I thank you. And I thank all the athletes and coaches and former players, current players, staff, everyone that I've been able to meet through this job, the almost 300 people that I've had the opportunity to shake hands with and talk to. I honestly cannot thank you enough. Above that, I thank my family, I thank my friends, my support system, people who are perfect strangers that have supported me from day one, and people who have known me my whole life, like my parents and my grandparents that have supported me, and my aunts and my cousins and my uncle and everybody, my great aunts, great uncles. And above all things, I want to thank God. I truly appreciate everything that God has done, the faith that He has had in me, and all the love that He has had for me, and would be nothing without Him. So I thank God first and foremost, and I ask you all to be safe, to be happy, to be healthy, and to truly go out there and do something good for yourself and do something good for somebody else too. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Have a wonderful, wonderful holiday. And no matter who you're with, always know that you have a home here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora on wakeupcalldt.com. And with everything that I do, you always have a spot at my table. God bless you. Have a great holiday season. And I'll talk to you very soon here on wakeupcalldt.com.